So my title today is A Saviour is Born. A Saviour is Born. Saviour was a very powerful word in those days. We're going back now to the first century. We're not quite sure the exact year, but you know, people say it was naught. Some people say it was one, some people say it was three. What I think we're fairly certain is it was in the positives, not in the ADs, not in the BCs. But what matters is not exactly when it was, but who it was. And the word saviour in those days meant an extremely special person. Normally, it meant Caesar. So the saviour of the world was Caesar, because he was said to be the one who had established the Roman Empire, who had maintained the Roman Empire, and most importantly brought the Roman peace, the Pax Romana, to the world. And so to use that word saviour over anybody else was, well, highly offensive. It really was. The Romans did not look upon that well. So to say a saviour is born, does this mean this is a new king for Israel? Does it mean it's a new Caesar for the empire? Well, I think we know what it means, but I'm going to explain that as we go along. Right at the start of Luke's account of this happening, we find that people are terrified. Now, come on, let's get this right. If you were in a field in pitch black, and all of a sudden, bearing in mind the street lamps haven't worked in Bethlehem at that time. Oh, all right, I can see you're a difficult crowd today. All of a sudden, there's a stream of light in the place, and an angel appears, and then the angel is surrounded by other angels, and they're singing and they're praising God, and they're having a whale of a time. But can you imagine the fear that you would have experienced? I mean, there are a bunch of people who, shall we say, are a little bit challenged people, who will tell you that they were in a field one night and the lights hovered over them. And then, or the next thing they knew, they were in a spaceship and they were being probed by aliens. Do you know what? I don't really believe that stuff, to be honest with you. But this stuff I do believe. Because not only do I believe in a Jesus who is a saviour, I believe he's my saviour. And I believe for many of you he is your saviour. And we need to be people who connect with the saviour. I don't know whether there are aliens on other planets. I just hope that they've got a saviour too, if they have. But I do know this. Heaven broke into earth around about 2,000 years ago, and a saviour was born. And people started off by being terrified. But this is good, isn't it? You know, they're terrified, and the angel says, good news. Good news. You're absolutely messing yourselves. You're absolutely terrified of what's going on. And the angel says, good news. Good news. Well, I think this is very ironic, but the whole point is that it was good news, because what had happened was that God had broken into time. You know, some people say that God predestines everything. Some people say that nothing happens unless it's the will of God. Certainly, Muslims believe that. But I don't think that it's a very Christian point of view. But I do know this, that there are a number of things that God has predestined, And if you read the New Testament, you'll find the word predestined is used 6 times, and every occasion it's about God's plan of salvation. You see, to have a Mary lined up and a Joseph that wouldn't leave her, to have an opportunity of a Roman census that brought Joseph and Mary back to Bethlehem, where their families both came from there. How amazing that all of these things lined up. How amazing that the angel Gabriel appeared to a young girl, you know, probably about Kenne's age, about 16. We think that Mary was 16. The Bible doesn't say, but we know that when young girls got married and they were betrothed, that betrothal would usually take place in their 16th year. And so, you know, realistically, Mary was a young girl, and this angel appears to her. And please, let's not get deceived by the romance of Christmas. We're not talking about a fluffy little cherub. That's the word. Well done. Well done. And I'm ashamed of you, Elsie, that you let Ashley get that before you. A fluffy little cherub. No. We're talking about a very, very, very big warrior. Gabriel and the angels, they're big guys. They're tough guys. You don't stand up to an angel, you run. And Mary said to Gabriel, "Let it be to me according to your word." What an amazing thing. 16-year-old, in quotes, girl. She says, "I'll have a big piece of that with custard on. I want to say yes to God." What a huge step it was for Mary to say she was prepared to get pregnant when she wasn't even married. Do you know that some young people in that time who got pregnant were stoned to death for it? Joseph automatically thought he would divorce her. And you say, well, they weren't married. Well, you've got to understand that the system then was you were betrothed, and that meant the marriage was all but sealed. And then usually after about a year, you would leave your mother and father and move in with your husband. And then the marriage celebration took place. And she was putting herself in a place by saying yes to God where perhaps the marriage would be called off. But you see, there was something really simple about Mary, something really brave and courageous about Mary, that she dared to believe that God would make it all right. And he did make it all right. In fact, he made it fantastic. And she went on to follow Jesus all her life, which is something for a mother to do, isn't it? To end up following her son. So, good news. Now, it says on the screen, not a baby. Now, what does the Bible say? Because Catriel read it to you, and it says, today, a saviour is born, not a baby. It doesn't say today a baby is born. It says today a saviour is born. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth. Now, how amazing is that? It's not that there's a baby being born. When Clearly there had been a baby born, but it's that a saviour has been born. Now, this is the miraculous power of the living God, is that a saviour doesn't have to be a 30-year-old trained warrior with a huge great sword who's coming to nobble the Romans. A saviour can be a baby. When you read on in Luke and you read about Simeon and Anna and the other people that met Jesus as a baby, they had a real living encounter with God. And yet Jesus was only a baby. When he was 12 years old and he appears in the temple and he's quizzing the teachers of the law, as if that had ever happened before. Teachers of the law would swipe you across the face, slap you from here to the other side of the room and say, get out of here. Fetch me a dad, I'm going to punish him for this. But this Jesus, he knew his scriptures. He knew what the Bible said. And he was in the temple because it was sort of home for him. It was the house of his father. So, let's not get too caught up with the words here. A baby was not born to save us. A saviour was born. And here was the sign, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Snugly in cloth, one version says. Quite like that version. In Luke, Luke says, and the sign to you will be a baby wrapped in swaddling bands, or, I mean, various different translations, but snugly in cloth. Luke is the only gospel writer that tells us that. Matthew doesn't mention it. Mark doesn't mention the nativity at all. And John's version of the nativity is quite different. It's sort of on a cosmic scale. And it's really wonderful. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's it's a nativity story, but it's different. And he summarizes it in verse 14 of John 1, where he says, and the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. What a wonderful, wonderful expression of the nativity. But Luke finishes his gospel by telling us that when Jesus had died on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body. Pilate, surprised that he had died so quickly, gave him the body. And it says this, Joseph took strips of cloth and wrapped Jesus in the same way that he had been wrapped as a baby. What a phenomenal thing. If you read the Greek, it's the exact same words. Exactly the same at the end of Luke as you've got here in the beginning of Luke. And theologians refer to this as, I had the word, but I've just lost it. But it means parenthesis, it means brackets. It's like the gospel in brackets. Starts here with Jesus wrapped in cloth, finishes with Jesus wrapped in cloth. And this is the only surviving picture of the resurrection tomb. That I think is actually from the Passion movie. What you will see over here is the strips of cloth that Jesus was wrapped in. And how wonderful that Jesus came to us as a saviour who needed to be kept warm, who needed to have his nappy changed, who needed breastfeeding, who needed bringing up and looking after. And he died on a cross, needing his body being attended to, course, these days we would call for a funeral director. But in those days, the family looked after things. And Joseph of Arimathea stood up and said, "Jesus, I'm your family now." And he wrapped the body and put it in his own tomb that was made for him. And you see, really, it's a question of need. Jesus' body needed wrapping when he died. Jesus' body needed wrapping when he was born. I've often sat and pondered whether I'm reading the resurrection story or the crucifixion and resurrection story, or whether I'm reading the nativity. I sat and pondered, Lord God, why? Why does Luke record this? And no one else records this. Well, let me tell you this. I'm convinced it's because Luke's gospel is the gospel of the marginalized. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke stands out in that every alternate miracle is to a woman. If you go through the miracles, a man, a woman, a man, a woman. If you go through Luke's gospel, you will find the most filthy, waste of time people that Jesus meets and brings a revolution about in their lives. You're looking at people that are, the Jews looked upon them as scum. That's a technical word. But I hope that some of you can stretch your thinking to understand what I mean by that. But these were people who were outcasts. You know, it's in Luke where Jesus tells us about a Samaritan. A Samaritan did a good thing. No, nothing good can come from a Samaritan. You know, this is terrible. Yet Jesus lets us know that he came for the marginalized. Do you know what? I'm so glad that I didn't come from a posh background. I'm glad I didn't come from a wealthy family. I'm glad that I've had to do what I've done, because Jesus has been with me and I have known that I had to depend on him because I had no one else. And I think that's brilliant, that we can learn to understand that our Saviour, from our birth to our death, is with us and there for us, and he will help us. And thank God for that. Amen. And then there's this wonderful bit which I was almost going to redo a sermon series I did years ago, where I went through Handel's Messiah. In the run-up to Christmas. I think it took about 10 weeks, and I took a different verse from Handel's Messiah every time. And every week I would sing. Now, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth. Da, 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 da. You've got to listen to it. You know, this time of year, I have to get my LP set of Handel's Messiah out and stick the stylus in the groove. It's special. Or I can always listen on Spotify. But suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Suddenly. You know, it's just like, can you imagine that time when a prophet was surrounded by enemies that had been sent to find him and bring him back to the foreign king? And he says, Lord, open the young man's eyes, for his servant can't see it. He can't see what the prophet can see. And when he opens his eyes, he sees angels surrounding the foreign army, and he realizes that they take one step towards him and they will get flattened by the angelic army. How wonderful that he could see what he could see. What was it like for those shepherds who had got this huge, great angel telling them all this about good news and da 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 da? But suddenly there's an army. There's an army. And these are all servants of the living God sent to help us walk in the way of salvation. And that's because it was a saviour that was born. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favours. How important is this message? Let's thank God at Christmas. I do like a traditional Christmas dinner. We make it a big deal. I remember the first year that we really felt we could go all out and do a big Christmas dinner. And I remember how much it cost me. And I remember that year, for our family, the big gift was the Christmas dinner. And we still try and do a big Christmas dinner for the family. And we still try to be all there together for each other. And thank God we are. And I'm very, 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 very grateful for that. But this Christmas, let's not get caught up in a turkey. Let's not get caught up in a pile of presents. Let's not be up at 2:30 a.m. unwrapping. Let's just remember to be grateful.
Still be wrapping them at that time.
Well, yeah, yeah. I can remember wrapping after midnight, certainly. I'm a bit better at it now. But, you know, we taught our kids presents after church. And, you know, that was just us. I'm not saying that you should do that. I'm saying that that's the way we brought them up. So we didn't have any 2:30 mornings. My mother did. She had 2:30 mornings with me, I'll tell you. But we did this, and it's wonderful. And, you know, sometimes it's tea time before we've finished opening parcels. And that's good. But let's not get absorbed with parcels. Let's not get absorbed with food. Let's not get absorbed with who can eat the most tubs of celebrations. But instead, let's get absorbed with the Christ of Christmas. Let's get absorbed with the Saviour. The Saviour who is Christ the Lord. He favours you. He does. He looks at you and he says, "This is why I came. I came for them. I came for you. I came for you." Jesus came for us, came to be our Saviour, to set us free from sin and death and hell. And he does that still very, very well in this century, believe me. I think it's wonderful. You know, we've grown from less than 2.5% of this population were Christians in 1980. 1980, less than 2.5%. And we had the audacity to call ourselves a Christian country. But here, today, something like 12.5% are Christians in this country right now. There are other people who are what we call cultural Christians. They quite like a bit of it, you know. But 12.5% of the population of this country are following Jesus. If you go to London, which is the heart of Christian renewal in our country, 20% of the population of Greater London are in church at the moment. That's wonderful. And we think, you know, oh, well, this country is going to hell in a handcart. And I've heard some of you say that. But you know what? It's growing. In 1980, when I would go out on the street handing people leaflets, people would spit at me for following Jesus. Now, people will happily accept a leaflet. And the worst reaction you ever get is when they refuse one. But they'll do it with a smile on the face. You know, the attitude people have to Jesus is different. And I know it's not all because they know he's their saviour, but I think it's important that we reflect that image of Jesus to them and that we tell them a saviour has been born. This Christmas, that needs to be our message. We need to be like the shepherds who return glorifying and praising God. Above anything else, let's praise God and thank God. Now look, I know some of you go away for Christmas. I know some of you are careering across the other side of the country. And that's fine. I will bless you for that. But you know, for those of us that are here, how wonderful it is to meet together on Christmas morning and just to say, Jesus, thank you for coming as Saviour. Thank you for being here with us. And that's why we always have a Christmas service. It's no one's getting on your case, please. But if you are free, why not come and be with us? Because it's a great opportunity to worship the Saviour. And they got there, they looked at it, they realised it was all true, and it changed their lives. And the shepherds, shepherds were an underclass. And I think this is very important. Matthew tells us about wise men who came to see Jesus. But Luke tells us about the underclass. Because when the shepherds were out in the field, they weren't there overnight. They were there usually for 3 or 4 months at a time. And there weren't a lot of showers. And you know what? When they came back into town, everybody could smell them coming. And we know this from other writings that of the same age as our Bible that will tell you that, yes, when the shepherds came back into town, everybody knew about it. And you hope the wind was blowing the other direction. But these people, marginalised, people who are not like everybody's favourite people, the Saviour came for them. And you might feel today that you're not much of a person. You might feel like you're an underdog. Well, let me tell you, that's great because it qualifies you for a Saviour. I think that's fantastic. I get a Saviour because I came from the wrong side of the streets, you know. Well, thank God the Saviour came for all of us. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you today that a Saviour came. A Saviour was born in Bethlehem. A Saviour who died and rose again and lives eternally and is alive right now, pleading before the Father in heaven for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you are there protecting us, calling us sons and daughters. Thank you that you are the one who loves us, and we appreciate that so much. We pray this Christmas that the message of good news will go far and wide. We pray it will get as far as the Ukraine. We pray it will get as far as Russia. We pray it will go all over China, Lord. Amen. We pray that you will save people wherever they are and whatever their background, and that in Nigeria today, in Zambia, in deepest and darkest Norwich, we pray that you will save folk. Amen. And that they will come to know the Saviour this Christmas. In Jesus' name.